Well, first, thanks again for coming to Hamburg. It's great. I think you will have seen that everybody is really thrilled by what's possible in the truck. Mm-hmm. The FabLab idea is a few years old. What gave you the idea to put it into a truck, make it mobile?
Well, I've been doing mobile stuff the last few years anyway. Mm-hmm. I bought an old truck and restored it, and we made a cinema and a mobile hack lab inside.
Ah.
So going from a mobile hack lab to a FabLab was just a small step for us. And the truck was already equipped with solar panels and battery power.
Oh.
So it's suitable for a FabLab as well. And then last year I was building a 3D printer in one of the FabLabs in the Netherlands, and I thought, hey, maybe it's nice if we try to make this mobile as well.
And which one? Which printer? The MakerBot?
No, I built a RepRap 3D
okay.
printer.
Yeah.
The MakerBot is like a kit. You can
buy
it completely.
Mm.
And RepRap, you have to make everything yourself. So we did it with a group of people. We built 8 RepRaps at the same time.
8?
Yeah. But that was easier than building one, because we could share the work. And most of the time, if you have the tools in your hand anyway, it doesn't matter if you make 8 or one part.
And so you have been involved with the FabLab scene in the Netherlands through that project, or?
Yes, that's the way I got in touch with the people running the FabLabs. I'd seen people working with the Fab equipment before in different occasions, but I hadn't also used the machines myself until I started making a 3D printer.
So what has been your experience when on the road with the truck so far?
Yeah, we just started a couple of weeks ago during the Diffusion Festival mm-hmm. here in Germany, and that was really nice because it's a very big festival, and all kinds of different people visit the festival, so also the FabLab truck. And people came there mostly just to make t-shirts or to make stencils.
Mm-hmm.
I was amazed by the number of people that were interested in the technology, and also people that came to ask about 3D printing, how it worked. Of course, the festival is a bit too chaotic for people mm-hmm. to sit down and make 3D designs.
Yes, sure.
So, but we did some workshops to explain how 3D printing works, and to show it a little bit, and I got some emails afterwards from people that said, "Hi, now I finally know how it works, and I can start designing and see if I can find a printer in my neighborhood."
Yeah,
because also in Germany there's quite a few of these printers around.
Yes,
already.
Yes. But, at the moment we have only one official FabLab in Germany, in Aachen at the Technical University. So in the Netherlands it's like a virus. That's what Toon said in Bremen on the Barcamp. So how come that in the Netherlands it's exploded, so to say?
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but maybe one of the reasons is that in the Netherlands the people who were starting the first FabLab came from different parts of the Netherlands, and they started working on different FabLabs at the same time. Not all of them happened in the end,
mm-hmm.
but what they made was not only a FabLab, but also a foundation that is organizing regular meetings for everybody that wants to start a FabLab in the Netherlands and also in Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
These meetings are very helpful to see how to run a FabLab, what you would need, how to negotiate with producers of machines, and how to get funding for your FabLab. So I think that helped the FabLabs that started later to find the information they needed.
Mm.
And I also found that it was a very good way to get to know more about how to organize a FabLab.
Yeah.
In the end, I did it totally different than most of the existing FabLabs, because in the mobile truck we try to use cheaper and self-made machines instead of the more expensive professional machines. But still, I got a lot of help from the people from the other fab labs.
But in Germany, some people say, or let's say a reaction from the engineering world is mostly that they don't really get the concept or think it's just playing around, and they don't take it so serious. So there has to be a more open mindset in the Netherlands for doing this. Does it? Is this because of the strong design culture in the Netherlands?
Yeah, maybe at least in many fab labs in the Netherlands, design is a big part of the use of the fab labs. It's also closely related to the design academies in the Netherlands. But I think it's also that maybe the German technology institutes take technology too seriously instead of using these machines, because what the fab labs do is they present these machines as being toys. They are for everybody to use, and it doesn't matter if you make something serious or just something playful or a piece of art or just something you want to use at home, or if you make your own kitchen tools, it's also okay. It doesn't have to be something special.
Yes, sure. And when you were building the 8 rep wraps, was it just to see how it works, how this technology works, or did you already have in mind, maybe the whole group? Oh, I know what to print out with these machines later.
No, I still don't know what to print out. What I printed till now was, for a large part, it was replacement parts for other 3D printers and improvements of the printer. But I think that it's the same with the first computers. People didn't build the computers because they needed a computer at home. They built it home computers because they could, because it was new technology and something you could play with. And they will get more useful, and by the now that, for example, the MakerBot is getting more stable, you can use it actually for production purposes. But still, yesterday I was printing a design, and it was a big and a bit complicated, so I had to print it 3 times before it came out right.
But do you have to finish it somehow?
You can, and for some designs it's nice to finish it, sandpaper it, or make it a little bit stronger by using super glue.
And what are your plans with the truck? I mean, you will drive around, and if you're at home in Amsterdam, then you just use it as your base and do stuff.
Yeah. One of the things I'm interested in is trying to improve the fab machines and modify them in a way that it's easy for people to build their own machines. And I think it's more important to make it easy to build than that the quality of the machines is very high.
Okay.
So you can start with machines that work. They should work. They should not break at the first time. But maybe the result is less precise than an expensive machine. But the expensive machines are also often, they are more difficult to build yourself. And for spreading the technology, I think it's important to make it easy to build these machines and use them with open source software. So partly I want to be involved with developing the machines, and partly I want to be involved in showing what these machines can do, and bringing them to places for people to see them. But a large part of what I want to do is also building the machines myself, testing them, and developing them.
And so what's your background that you got interested in the first place in doing all this stuff?
I did a lot in computer science. Was running a hack lab in Amsterdam for about 10 years. And from this hack lab, I got the idea that it's time to do the same, but now with machines that actually make stuff instead of just software.
Yeah, but that's a very good move. That's a very good move. But would, do you think or do you hope that even the laser cutter, which seems to be the most industrial machine so far in the truck? Oh, I just wait. Do you hope or plan to build a laser cutter on your own later? Because I could imagine that it's not so difficult to build it.
Actually, I see no real difficulties in building a laser cutter. The machine itself, I would know where to get the parts for it, and also except for the laser tube itself, most of the parts are so similar to other machines that you can make them even out of recycled parts of old printers. But with a laser cutter, the laser beam is quite dangerous. Yes. So what you need is a metal casing that is protecting the user a little bit. And actually making the metal casing is something that you cannot do with the regular FAP equipment, because it cannot cut through metal, and bending the metal is a problem. So actually having a casing made in China is a cheap alternative. But one of the nice things about the cheap Chinese laser cutters is that if you open the machine and look inside, all the parts, they look so similar to what you find in do-it-yourself CNC shops.
Okay.
That these machines are also easy to reproduce.
Yeah. Yeah. But is any of the Dutch fab labs already moving into metalworks?
No, and I don't think it's the most important thing. Yeah, there's a lot of different machines that you could have in a fab lab. Mm-hmm. But the most important is that the machines are easy to use and accessible. And sometimes you need stronger or bigger machines to make what you want to make. Mm-hmm. But then you can still use the machines in the fab lab to make a prototype, and then send your instructions to a bigger machine, to a company that has these machines.
Yeah.
But you cannot have all the machines in the fab lab, because there's so many different types.
But I remember that Neil Gershenfeld once told me, when I made a telephone interview with him some years ago, that ultimately he hoped that one fab lab can reproduce itself completely.
Yeah, well, we're getting close, because I think the most important equipment in a fab lab is the laser cutter, a 3D printer, a CNC mill, which is the opposite of a 3D printer, taking away material instead of putting it together, and a vinyl cutter. Vinyl cutters are quite easy to build yourself. 3D printers are actually at a level that I would say it's more useful for fab labs to have a home-built 3D printer than having the commercial versions, because the commercial versions, although their results look nicer and they have a higher resolution, the machines take very long to make something, so the practical use of the homemade machines is actually quite high in comparison, because they are quite fast.
Ah, okay. Yes, I've seen. So I was really astonished.
So they can make a prototype much faster than a commercial machine. So, and also building your own CNC. I know that at MIT they have several designs for making CNCs yourself. And I'm also building a couple of these machines at the moment. I think that fab labs could now, instead of buying a machine, use a CNC that has been built in another fab lab.
Yes, sure.
So that leaves the laser cutter as the only machine that I would prefer to buy at the moment.
Okay. And what do you think, how will a FabLab wave. At the moment, it feels a bit like it's going to be a wave in the next years. Mm-hmm. How will it change things? What do you think?
Well, what I think and what I hope might be a little bit different, but what I hope is that it will make people more aware that a lot of things are quite easy to produce yourself. Mm-hmm. And instead of just going to a shop and buying something new, that people also look into the opportunities of recycling something that doesn't really work anymore, needs to be repaired or needs to be improved. Mm-hmm. And especially if that, if everybody that repairs something or improves something puts his designs online, then maybe the next person that also wants to to repair the same machine or tool doesn't need to design it himself, but can just look it up on the internet and print it, or improve it even more and print it then. And I think that the way a lot of things are produced at the moment is also, it's very inefficient, because every company keeps the designs secret.
Yes.
So everybody is designing the same thing, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all the designs that are on the internet, they can just be used by anybody to improve it and make something new. So maybe we can produce less and recycle more, and also make the things that we use more useful and more adapted to what we actually want to have.
Yeah. So you'd say it's a part of becoming more sustainable.
More sustainable, but also more changing from just consuming to really thinking about what do you really need and how do you want it to be, instead of just shopping and not finding what you need, but finding something that looks nice and shiny, but in the end doesn't work.
But do you think that, because it's so against the common industrial production model, do you think there will be resistance at some point? I mean, maybe the analogy for me is that once people start to share designs, but also rip designs, you're coming in a situation that is similar to what has happened in music, digital music.
But as far as I'm concerned, I think that the music business has lost the copyright battle. And I haven't seen musicians dying on the street yet, so I think maybe some corporate businesses made less profit, but I don't think it affected the musicians. And I think the same thing will happen in production, that maybe it brings back more the craft idea of working, people are appreciated for their knowledge about how something works, instead of working on a production line and making the same materials all the time.
So Richard Sennett has recently published a book about craft. I don't know how the original English title is. In German it was just titled Handwerk. I have read only interviews with him about it, but I found it very interesting that somebody like him suddenly picks up this old-fashioned idea, and it's more like a high-tech craft what's going on in a fab lab.
Yeah, fab labs, they encourage people to both start using old-fashioned tools again, because you cannot produce anything without a screwdriver and a hammer.
Yeah, yeah.
You also need the normal tools. But on the other hand, they make all the high-tech stuff that was out of reach of normal people, as far as production was concerned, they suddenly make it accessible. You can make things as detailed as the production in China or Taiwan was making it.
Second last question. The advantage of having a mobile fab lab is that you don't have to pay rent. But
which is actually not completely true, because you have to park the truck somewhere.
Okay. But apart from that, does it cost a lot, electricity and the materials you use there?
The machines are still quite expensive, and
but once you have them, I mean,
we'll see
the operations.
I don't know yet, because I don't know how much it will take to maintain them.
Okay.
But the way I collected the machines for this FabLab, it costed a lot of time, but not so much money.
Okay.
So it's more investing time in finding out how the machines work, building them myself with a group of people. And
okay.
And the same with the truck itself. It was a cheap old truck, but it needed half a year of welding before it was ready for the road.
Well, it looks lovely. It's really great. Okay, the last question is what... it's a question we, as a group here in Hamburg, ask lots of people, but might be interested in your answer. What would you like to build someday, even if it's quite complicated? Is there something that you say that if I could do that, I'd be really, really happy?
Well, one of the great challenges in making the FabLab successful, I think, is the building electronics part.
Okay.
Because a lot of machines, they also require a part of it being electronics. And what we can make ourselves is a double-sided print board that you can then fill by hand with parts. But improving that in maybe even in the long run, designing your own chips or transistors to start with, maybe would be very nice. So, but this is a very high precision equipment, it would enlarge the opportunities of making machines in the FabLab very much if you could make, in a simple way, make basic electronics.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Thanks a lot.